Appreciated the song this morning. Helps pull things into perspective, doesn't it? Like to write the title of the message on the board today. It goes along with the song. I trust the message this morning will serve to both challenge and encourage each one that is here. I find that the gospel message is full of challenge, but it's surrounded by encouragement. That's what I find. Jesus Christ came to lift us up. He came to bring us the answer to our need. He didn't come to condemn. He came to bring us life, an abundant life, and salvation, and the answer to the needs that we have. And so, I'm encouraged with that. This morning, the subject is arguably one of the most valuable things that you have ever been gifted. And that is your life. We covered a couple of weeks ago the fact that just one thing is going to matter. The only thing that in the end is going to matter is that we feared God in a way that caused us to keep His commandments. That we feared God in a way that we believed into the plan that Jesus Christ brought. Not just that we believe that He is God's Son, not just that we believe that He rose again, but that we believed into and embraced the life that He came to bring us, and that we adopted it as something that we wanted in our life. That's the only thing that's going to matter in the end. And that we should make it matter. Not that we just have a head knowledge of it, but that we make it matter. And this morning, I'm thinking along the lines of an adjacent topic to complement that message found in the fourth chapter of James. I'd like to read one verse. James 4 and 14. It says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." It said, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." You could replace the word "whereas" with "given that." Given that, you don't know what's going to be on the morrow. Note that this is a statement. It's not a question. It's not a concept. It really wasn't presented as, by this writer in this case, it really wasn't presented as something to give further consideration to. It was to preface what he was getting ready to say with a statement that he took for granted was an established, well-known truth in the minds of those that were hearing this verse. Whereas, given that, you don't know what's going to be on the morrow. And we don't know what's going to be on the morrow. I don't know what's going to be on the morrow. I can plan for things for tomorrow. I can think that I know what tomorrow might look like based upon what I have thought about in my own mind, but I don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. And I've reflected recently on unexpected events that have taken place recently that we had no idea place. Wasn't on my calendar. You know, wasn't on yours either. You know, I think back just say 2 years ago, we had no idea that this thing called COVID-19 was going to bring about the change that it has brought in so many ways in our lives. Has touched us in many ways. Had no idea, and yet it happened. The wars that are happening right now, and the people that just a short time ago felt like that they were in a place of relative safety, felt like that they could, with a fairly good degree of certainty, plan ahead for what their lives were going to look like. And yet today, so quickly things changed. Many, many lives in just the last little bit have gone out to meet God. They're not here anymore. Buildings that have been around for a long time are gone and destroyed. Who would have thought that lives would have been turned upside down that quickly? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. There's people, loved ones that were right in our community that aren't here today. That we would certainly have thought would be here today. But they're not. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Even simple things. We were, a group of us were out working the other day in the yard out here, and there's a tree out here that fell down. And a couple of the guys were counting the rings on that tree. If I recall correctly, there were over 100 rings on that tree. 110, 115, give or take a few. That tree had been out there for over 100 years. But it's gone today. Who would have thought just a short time ago if someone would have said, you know, that tree out there, there's going to be a wind that rustles up around here and it's going to knock that thing down. What? Really? You think that? After 100 years, there was nothing that came by this way. Not one thing that came by this way to take that tree out. But today, the tree is gone. There's a reminder of it. It's cut up. It's put away. It's fallen down. Its life is over. Unexpected. Was there one day, the next day, it was down. And one of these days, our lives will follow suit. One of these days, many times unexpected, in ways that we had not planned, there will come a day when we too will leave this earth and we won't be planning anymore for tomorrow. It's a serious thing to think about. And regardless of all of the reasons why we may say this or that shouldn't have happened, or there's no way that anybody could have planned for this, and that's why we end up the way we are, as if somehow that makes it all okay, it did happen. It's happened. And time rushes us on to meet the next unexpected event, many of which are beyond our control. Well, now, life, the writer said, is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever observed that? Have you ever watched a tea kettle or a cooling tower on the side of the road, interstate somewhere, and watched the steam that comes up, or maybe a match that you've blown out and you watch the smoke come off of that match, you don't have to squint to see the vapor. It's there. You don't have to imagine it. You don't have to look at it through binoculars or a magnifying glass. You look at it, it's there in clear view, and yet so quickly, so soon, it just seems like it vanishes away. And this was what the writer used as a statement to answer the question that he first posed. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is like a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. And he answered the question relative to the length of life. This morning I am burdened and inspired, I guess all at the same time, challenged, if you will, with a question that was posed in this verse. What is your life? Do you remember the shipmaster that came to Jonah? You remember what he asked Jonah? He came to Jonah and he said, What meanest this? What meanest thou? With all that was going around Jonah, with the turmoil in life, with the waves that were rolling, with the lives that were at stake, with all of the activity that was happening on that ship, the shipmaster came down and Jonah was right in the middle of it, and he asked him that question, what meanest thou? What does this mean? This activity that you're engaging in right now, what does this mean relative to everything else that's going on around us? Jonah was asleep. And the shipmaster wanted to know, what does that mean? Particularly as it has to do with what's going on in life around us. And I wonder this morning, what does our life mean? But when the Lord comes and He looks at our life, with all that's going on around us, with the lives that are at stake, with eternity in the background, coming, looming, given the fact that we don't know what is going to be on tomorrow, life is uncertain. Life is short at best. You can't plan for sure what's going to happen in life. I can't plan for tomorrow with certainty. That's the reason the Scripture says, if the Lord wills, if the Lord is willing, this will happen. Because I don't know what's going to happen. Given that we understand that I don't know what tomorrow brings, and given that we are rushing to meet the Lord, and eternity is coming, the question becomes so poignant. What is your life? What is your life? If the Lord were to ask us that question this morning, what is your life? What is it that we may respond? I know that the story of our lives include a lot of things that we don't have control over. There are a lot of things that touch us in life that I don't have anything to say about, or to a large extent. World sickness, I don't have a whole lot to say about that. World events, the price of gasoline that affects our wallets. There are so many things in life that affect me, that are part of the story of my life. Uninvited events that touch my life that aren't pleasant. Hardship was mentioned this morning about a plant that perhaps was closed down, and people's, what they had accumulated vanished and went away. Hardship in life often touches us. And I don't control it. But that is not what ultimately defines my life. The events that touch my life, it's part of the story. But it's not what defines my life. It's not what my life is. What defines my life this morning and what will define your life is how you respond to the events that come your way in life. That is what will define your life. Not the events, not the things that were out of control that you had nothing to say about, but so changed your life in different ways. This question right here, I don't believe in the end speaks to what your life is just in terms of things temporal, but holistically, what is your life? How do we respond to the things that come our way? We can take for granted the good things. You know, good things touch our lives too. It's not all bad. And some people, it seems like in life, experience an easier life than other people experience. Sometimes. Sometimes we think that and it's really not true. If we were to trade places with them, we would be begging to go back and walk in our own shoes. The grass always looks a little better on the other side. But some people seems like have some more pleasant things come by them in life. Well, how do you respond to that? Do we view those blessings in terms of how we can use those to further God's kingdom? The things that come our way that are negative and that are hurtful. Did you know that we can become consumed by the trouble that we face in life? We can allow the trouble that comes our way to consume us. And cause us to go into a corner, crawl into a hole, perhaps allow self-pity as a guest in our house, and let that rule our life from now on. We can put our life, set the cruise control on resignation and self-pity if we want to in life with what comes our way. And if we do that, that will then define our life. You know, I was thinking about in the corporate world, in the business world around us, there is a lot of energy that goes into establishing vision, strategies, goals. Companies look at where their gaps are. They look at where the possibilities are to create additional value. They look at those things that those hurdles that get put in front of them that get in the way of them achieving their goals and realizing their vision. And they're very deliberate about looking at those things and making some very tough decisions to do everything that they can to realize the vision and the strategies that have been set for them. They do those things for temporal things in life. And I'm challenged sometimes with how do we treat our spiritual life, our soul. When we think about our life, what is my life? What do you want your life to be? How do you want your life to be defined in the end? Jesus, well, I don't remember if it was Jesus or somebody else, said in that parable, he said that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Speaking of the one that was making plans for when he got kicked out of the household and had to make it on his own. He planned. He thought ahead. He started making decisions to close the gaps that he saw coming. What do we do this morning with our life? What is our life? Do we think about it? Are we concerned about it? Are we content to let the events of life dictate what our life becomes? Let the current take us where it will. The changing winds that are in the world, are they going to be the things that move us and define who we are and just always be reacting to what's getting put in front of us? Or are we going to strive to identify, Lord, what is it that you want me to be in life? Because one thing is going to matter in the end. And I want to understand what my life is in this space of time that I have. And I began to think about what words might describe us in this life. Have you done that before? Have you ever thought about how other people might describe you? Sometimes that's not a pleasant thing to think about. Have you ever been asked, how would you describe so-and-so in one word? Have you ever heard somebody say that? Have you ever heard how people describe you in one word? You start to get uncomfortable, don't you? If we were to go around the room and say, I'll tell you what, we're going to describe your neighbor. You describe your neighbor with one word. What would it be? But whether we go through that exercise or not, we're living a life, and people see how we live, and they're influenced and they're affected, and they know us by our fruit. Jesus said that. You're known by your fruit. By your fruit, people are going to know you. Jesus said it twice in the same chapter, just a few verses away in the Sermon on the Mount, almost to just reiterate the point. And so if we were to self-reflect a little bit and we begin to think about, well, what is my life? How would it be summed up? Would people say they are a loving person? You know, with respect to events that come your way in life, people, people aren't defining you so much with your circumstances as how you respond to your circumstances in life. Are we loving? Do we demonstrate humility? Are we easily entreated? Are we faithful? How do we handle hardship when it comes? Are we quick to strike out? Are we critical? Judgmental? Complainer? Joyful? Positive? Negative? Are we meek? Or are we somebody that people would really rather not cross because it's more trouble than it's worth? Are we thoughtful? Do we give consideration to what we're getting ready to walk into, or do we just blindly blow into things and create a mess on our way through? See, all of these things really begin to define what our life is. It's not what comes our way, it's how we face it. And you have everything to say about that. We'd say, well, I can't help what life brought to me. This is just what my life story is. No, that's not what your life story is. That is part of the story, but your life is defined by how you make decisions. And in the end, our lives are going to be defined not by the people that are left behind. Our lives aren't going to be defined, as we read in Sunday school this morning, by what we've accumulated in this earth. People say they want to describe what is their life all about. It would be a sad thing if it was all about temporal things that they no longer carried with them. What is your life today? Because one of these days we're going to face the one who will define our life for us with clarity. And some of these descriptions, some of these words might crop back up again. You were kind. You were generous. You shared. You thought beyond yourself. You were willing to serve other people. You lifted your eyes up off of the temporal things of this life. You weren't so inwardly focused as you were trying to serve the needs of people around you. That's what's going to matter. In the end, that's what's going to matter. How is our life defined by our prayer life? By our interest in the Word of the Lord? By our interest in furthering God's kingdom? I know that we have responsibilities in this life. All of us do. We have jobs we go to. We have grass to mow. We have houses to clean. We have temporal things of life that will pass away, and it's good that we do those things, but how do we do those things? How do we do our job? It's going to make a big difference in the end. I know that life is going to pass away. That's been established. That really isn't in question anymore. It's in what form and in what condition will my life pass away? And when I look at my own life, I see a lot of room for growth. I recognize that there are places in my life that I want to close the gaps. And the good news is this morning is, as one of the young brothers quoted for his verse in Sunday school, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you know what thing creates the biggest load for us in life most of the time? It's ourselves. And the Lord invites us to bring ourselves to His cross, to His throne, that we might find help and be defined by His grace in our lives. So that when that day comes that we meet Him, we'll have invested in those things that are most important in life. I want to think about this question now, while I have time and opportunity. With the time that God gives us, I want to reflect on it in a serious way, because I don't know what's going to happen on the morrow. Well, in the end, the story of my life is not going to bear out that I was perfect. And neither will yours. And the story of my life is not going to be a picture of expected circumstances and outcomes, because most of what I expect doesn't happen anyway. And my life is going to be a story that is made up of ups and downs, successes and failures, joy and sorrow, defeats and victories. My life will contain all of those things in its story. But when the book is closed and the chapters have come to an end, And I stand before God and the question becomes, what was your life? I want my life to be defined as one that planted myself by the rivers of living water that are there and flowing regardless of the events that we face in life. Jesus Christ came and brought us living water from a well that is not dependent on the events of this life. He has a well of living water that He offers us to come and drink from, that our lives might be defined by Him, by Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." We have much to be encouraged about this morning. We have much to hope in. We also have a responsibility in how we approach the circumstances of life that come our way. May God help us that we would find His mercy and grace to be something that we have applied for and received in life, that we might meet Him in peace. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.